ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Blue, Joey.
Dude, I can't figure this out. I just can't figure it out. It's really pissing me off, to be honest.
That's
with you
okay.
Guys.
Mr. Sunny, Hollywood Pooty.
Since we got one blue, I was thinking on my screen, the lower right hand corner, can you just black that one out?
Whoa.
This is fucked up.
Yeah. Mr. Joey Quesada.
Yo!
Yeah, he's doing all of his Hulk Hogan. All right. Hey, thank you guys for tuning in. We don't care if there's one of you watching or 50 of you watching. We do this every week because it's fun and we're going to enjoy it. And, man, there's nothing like hanging out and talking Kiss with your friends. You guys know that. Christmas was fun. I hope everybody got what they want. Last year, we did a Dirty Santa, and as my here at Karen's house, and I gave away a box of Gene Simmons Demon cereal, and this year I got it back.
What is a Dirty Santa?
So basically, everybody puts a present. It has to be it could be a goofy present. It doesn't have to be anything really good. But you also put a gift card with it. So like I would put the cereal and like a $25 gift card to Home Depot. So people, and then when it's their turn to pick a present that's wrapped, they could steal yours.
Okay. On the West Coast, we call that a white elephant.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard that before.
I've never heard it called Dirty Santa. What is that?
I think you're both idiots. I've never heard of either.
Joey, I heard Yankee swap the other day. I don't even know what that is.
What's a Yankee swap?
Supposedly the same thing.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, before we get started, Jody, did you get my any envelopes from me?
Nope, not yet.
Dang, that is so amazing, the mail. Sonny got his, Joey got his, nothing to Jody yet. That's okay. I'm not going to tell you what's in it. It's fun though. I promise. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. There is a whole lot to talk about because we are now heading into the week of the, we're going to get to see Kiss live in concert. So before we do that, let's go ahead and talk about the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Today's news is not brought to you by Sprite. Kiss, yes, they're Podcast Rock City Cups. Kiss has arrived in Dubai. Gene Simmons, Eric Singer, and Tommy Thayer went on a plane. Joey, how did Paul get there?
Paul, I think, flew on his magic carpet, right, with his mask on. That's the picture I saw on the internet today. He can't be in public, so, you know, I think he flew on a magic carpet.
I'll tell you this. I posted they arrived. There's a video and pictures and everything, and I went on somebody's page and at the picture of them all together and was like, guys, that's not 6 feet. And people actually didn't know I was kidding, I guess. They were like, I'm sure they've been tested and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wow. It's humor. I am very excited about this. I am ready to watch the concert. I am ready to have fun and see Kiss. I've missed the band. I'm ready to see and hear some music. I don't care what the set list is. I'm prepared to be disappointed. and if I am disappointed, it'll be my own fault. We paid the money. We know what we're going to see. You guys out there, don't forget, guys, let us know what you think. On the comments, Sonny and Joey will read them as they have time. And, are you guys out? Okay, so Joey's not getting it. Sonny, you're not getting it.
I got it.
You got it. Jody, you're not getting it or you are getting it?
I'm probably not getting it, dude.
Okay. So tomorrow or this week, you know, on, I guess Friday it is, They'll be the, is it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday
at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm glad you just told me, otherwise I'd have missed it. 12 o'clock in the afternoon. The concert's going to start. You could get on a little early. I did write the people at the company that's putting it on, and Chromecast, Apple TV, your phone or a laptop are the best ways. I thought maybe it was going to be on Oculus, maybe in like virtual reality, because they keep saying they're going to have 360 cameras. That's not going to be the case, apparently. So, but that's still cool, man. I'm ready to see these guys. So let me pitch this on to you guys. What do you think it's going to be like? They're going to go, you know, at the end of like Detroit Rock City, they're going to go, bah, and you're going to hear. You think that's what's going to happen, or you think they're going to put a track in there to make it?
I think they're going to have crowd noise pumped in, much like the NFL is doing. And NBA, all the sports teams are pumping, even the WWE, they're pumping in crowd noise. So I wouldn't doubt that. Maybe you won't hear it live over there, but you'll hear it on the broadcast, I think, especially if they have all these cameras and they're editing live like that. It won't be so obvious that you'll be like, oh my God, that's fake. But I think they'll have some kind of crowd noise ambience, you know, just to kind of set the mood.
What do you think, Sonny?
Yeah, they got to pipe in noise. There's no way around that. I think you'll get some stage banter with Paul. I can feel you out there. I can feel you out there. You know, you got that kind of stuff going on. But they'll make fun at it. They'll poke fun at it a little bit. I bought it for a couple of reasons. One was FOMO. And second, there's never been a time where I've been able to watch a Kiss concert and talk at the same time about it. And I can just imagine the text chains that will be happening live in certain people's phones while this show's going on. Everything from bitching about X to so-and-so fell over to, hey, they started the wrong song to Paul's, you know, laughing at Paul's banter. Who knows what it is? But you don't get to do that at a live show because you're just too kind of busy watching it, right?
Yeah, Jody, how do you think this is going to change Paul? I mean, he feeds off of the crowd. You think this is going to be something he'll just roll with, or here's one thing I'm hoping. First of all, is Say Yeah going to be out of the thing, because now he can't go, let me hear you say yeah, and then nothing.
No, yeah. Track. You have the tracks doing it. You have people at home will say it, and he'll say he can hear you, and they'll have a track fill in. It'll be there.
What do you think, Jody?
Well, I hope they don't play that song to begin with. But yeah, I mean, they'll have tracks. I mean, they have tracks on Alive, for Christ's sakes. So there'll be tracks, I think. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see on YouTube the next day.
Sonny, what are people saying online right now?
Dennis goes, he will lip sync as usual. Ken Keenan said he bought it too. Like there's people excited about it. I would not say I'm super duper excited. I'm interested to watch it. I was more excited about the TSO live stream, right? So, and that's just me tempering my expectation. Like, Joe, you're willing to be disappointed. I don't want to be disappointed. I want to be able to say, I knew it. I knew it. I want to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think visually, I think it's going to be great visually. I think they're going to really pull out a lot of stuff, whether it's fireworks or stage stuff. I think they're going to go all out. And from what I can see, I know people are commenting online, oh, that looks like the same stage setup because of all the, you know, the construction and stuff. It's not. That's a giant stage. That thing is massive. So I do think they're going to mix it up a little bit. I don't know to what extent, but I do think it's going to be visually a little bit different and exciting than usual. Yeah, the set list is going to be, right, guys, the set list, if anything, is going to be more generic than ever, because it's a live stream to the mainstream audience who wouldn't go out to see Kiss, and maybe to families and stuff like that. So I think if you're looking for any rare cuts, you're going to get zero. But I do think visually it's going to be fun.
I can tell you that Karen and I are going to we're going to be in Alabama, but we're gonna drive back to Atlanta where I live, which is only about an hour away, to watch this in my basement. I have a movie theater room, so a big screen. So we're gonna watch it there with surround sound. Then we're gonna drive back, and her family has already said, look, every year now we watch the Rock and Nick Clark thing, and we don't know any of the bands.
That's a good point.
Let's just put a projector out here outside, and we'll rerun the Kiss show, and we'll all have fun, and we'll at least know a few of the songs, and we'll all get to watch Kiss. And I was like, wow, that wasn't even my idea, which is amazing.
And this is Karen's family?
Karen's family, yeah.
She's a keeper, Joe.
So you're watching it in Alabama.
I'm watching it in Atlanta, and then I'm going to come back at midnight, you know, midnight. Instead of turning on the Dick Clark Rockin' Eve, they're going to put on Kiss on the projector, and I thought that was pretty cool.
I'd be careful, Joe. I can't imagine Alabama is going to have a real, you know, live stream. I don't think you're going to be getting some good service in Alabama.
Whatever. Yes. You guys are crazy. They'd love you here though, Joey.
Uh-oh.
They would. All right, so
I saw Deliverance. I'm not coming.
Was that, no pig was squeals that, for I you,
thought,
huh, Joey?
I thought that was in Georgia anyway, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, they Georgia and Alabama are pretty much, they're the same on my list.
It's really not. Anyway. all right, so just because I'm offended doesn't mean I'm not wrong. Okay, so well, look, one other thing that I want to tell you guys, I hope you guys all had a great Christmas out there. If you're a Kiss collector, if you like buying the t-shirts and buying coffee mugs or whatever you want, if you're into that, I saw online now that Kiss is having a 40% off sale end of the year thing, and the Kiss Museum.com is having a clearance sale. So if you guys right now got some money for Christmas to buy some Kiss stuff, head on over to those spots and pick it up. You guys ready for the topic of the week? Because I'm ready for this.
Wait, hold on. One more piece of news. I think we forgot this last week, and we were so Peter heavy too last week. We forgot that Peter and Richie Scarlett have a new song out.
Yes, absolutely. And it's called I Pulled Him Out of the Mothballs.
I actually forget what the title is, but it's actually a fun song. Peter's drums sound really good on it. Just hearing Peter play again on a recorded album or something like that. It's fun. It's why not?
Is it the Pharaoh and the King?
I think it's something like the Emperor and the Catman, something
Emperor
like that.
And
right?
The Catman. Yeah. I didn't mind the song.
And then Kiss Coffee.
Oh, there's Kiss Coffee coming out for the second time.
Oh, is it the second time?
Well, they had a coffee house.
Oh, well, yeah, but did they have coffee though?
Yeah, you could get a Rocchino and you could buy it in the packages. And
Oh, because I came up with some flavors. You want to hear
them? All right, yeah. All right,
I got 11 flavors. You ready for this? Oh, Joey, you a coffee drinker?
I am.
You are. Jody, are you a coffee drinker?
I drink some coffee, yeah.
Okay, and Joe, you drink a little?
Oh, yeah.
The
mine is the beiger, the better.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go. Here's the flavors. The first one is Keep Me Coming Kenyan Roast. All right. Okay. Then we got the Jamaican Jungle Roast. We got the Take It Off Tanzania Nut Roast.
Ooh.
Ethiopian Exciter Blend. We got the Peaberry Parasite. You're going to love this one. We got the Bang Bang You Brazilian Premium Roast.
I like it.
The Colombian Crazy Crazy Nights Espresso Roast. We got the Detroit Rock City Decaf. The Firehouse French Roast. The Guatemalan God of Thunder. And the King of the Nighttime World Hawaiian Kona. You can get them all in 16-ounce packages for $99.99.
And when somebody puts that much effort into the show, I have to say only one thing.
I mean, obviously, Sonny has way too much time on his hands. That's why, Joe, listen, for the topic of the week, I'm going to call it now. Sonny has to go last. I'm not following the book that he wrote for the topic of the week this week. So he's going last. Since technically it was my topic, he's going last.
Okay, that sounds fine. All right, so if you guys get a chance, the Richie Scarlett stuff is out there, and the coffee is coming, and there's Kiss Rum out there, which apparently I cannot get mailed to me. That's super annoying. But let's go ahead and get to the topic. Man, this is going to be a really special topic of the week. I'm not even joking.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
See, people are getting into it. Bob Jordan said, "Brew timer."
Ken said,
"Heaven's on fire." Rose, see, people are getting into it.
Hey, that's really awesome. Thank you guys for being on there with us. We totally appreciate all the comments and everything. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. We appreciate them. It's the best thing in the world when you guys are chatting with us. And if you want to send us a letter, it's podcast Rock City One.
That is the number one.
At gmail.com. All right, Joey, tell them about the topic.
All right, so the topic of the week this week. So Sonny made it a little bit more elaborate, but what I wanted to discuss was everyone always talks about how, you know, Gene and Paul kept Kiss going in the 80s. That's why when the reunion happened, obviously Ace and Peter became just hired guns because Gene and Paul kept the Kiss brand going throughout the 80s. And my argument has always been, well, I think they would have been even bigger on the reunion tour possibly if Kiss would have stopped, you know, when Peter left the band or, you know, Gene and Paul didn't continue in the 80s. I don't think it necessarily helped the brand at all. Don't get me wrong. I love 80s Kiss, maybe even as much as 70s Kiss, but the argument that they kept it alive, therefore they own the band and they get the bigger cut, I think is a little bit skewed one way. So I wanted to have a topic that came up with, what if Kiss broke up in 1979 when Peter left the band and then reunited for the reunion? What would have happened? Would the reunion have been as big, not as big, or bigger?
Okay, and then Sonny, you added.
So my thought process was, well, what are they doing between 1980 and 1995, 1996. So figured each one of us would take a band member and share fantasy what they did for that 16 years before they got back to the reunion. Okay, so this should be very interesting. We each don't know what we didn't share what our band member did. So it'll be interesting to see because we'll have four different stories about four different people. I think we gave Jody, Ace, Joe, Paul, Joey, Peter, and I took Gene.
So. Yeah, and I'll volunteer to go first since I'm the least confident about what I wrote.
Just quickly, Bob Jordan, caffeine 16. That's what he came up with.
There you go. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
They need us.
I like all the fan suggestions better than Sonny so far.
What? Okay, so basically what we did, what I did was I broke it down starting in 1980. I'm going to tell you that I actually wrote a whole thing, but like all I was going to say was in 1980, after the band broke up, Paul Stanley was so depressed he jumped off the Empire State Building. The end.
Wow, morbid as hell.
I mean, like, from what I can, anyway. All right, so this is my faux. Okay, listen, it's important because I don't want to get sued by anybody. This is fake parody. I wrote this.
I will follow Joe, just so you know. I have confidence after following Joe.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead. In 1980, Kiss broke up, and Paul Stanley immediately took a vacation for 2 years, traveling the world on private jets, buying expensive cars, speeding around the Autobahn, sleeping with tons of different women, and living life exactly the way he wanted to, and not listening to anybody tell him how to live.
Joe, are you doing like a 10th grade book report, or what are you doing?
Isn't that what I'm supposed to be doing? You didn't really explain this.
Joe, you're doing perfect. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, hold on. Now let me keep going. In 1983, he got an idea to start a chain of restaurants called Devereaux's, featuring overpriced hamburgers and steaks. The restaurant also featured dancing girls in cages, dancing to the songs he wrote about living his life in 19... Huh?
You froze a little, Joe, for me. I'm not sure if on everyone's end.
We missed all of that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go
Alabama,
again.
Alabama, baby.
In 19...
Alabama.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so you missed the restaurants. That's what you missed. In 1983, he got an idea to start a chain of restaurants called Devereaux's, featuring overpriced hamburgers and steaks. You can hear me fine, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. The restaurant also featured dancing girls in cages, dancing to songs he wrote about living his life and never letting anyone tell him how to live. See, there's a theme here.
His way, you're saying.
Yes, his way. In 1988, Paul released his second ever solo record called Party, Party, Party.
Featuring the hit Bang Bang You.
A concept record about a young Paul Stanley and how all he wanted to do was become rich and famous and do everything he wanted to do in his life. He followed it with a year-long successful tour. In 1992, Paul Stanley met and fell in love with the October Pet of the Month. They bought a mansion on the California beach and had three kids, Paul, Paulina, and Paulette. In 1995, Paul wrote a book about his life called You Didn't Like Me When I Was a Kid, Now I'm Rich, Suck It, which also became...
Which I think also, that was the original title of his book, just so you know, but go ahead.
Which also became a Broadway play starring Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley from Kiss.
In 1996, Paul Stanley launched a failed line of scarves because he thought it was the fashion. The fashion
teacher. It's like reading an English class. It's so weird.
I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses. And only two people that bought them were Joe Polo and Chris Jericho.
That's about right.
In 1996, Paul Stanley knew something had to change in his life. That's my thing.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Thank you. I was just, there was irony there for all
you
guys.
I didn't do anything like that. I didn't write down a single thing. Thought about what I think would have happened, and I think
it's fine. Joey, you're next.
So again, so to paint the picture, obviously you got to remember 1979. Even though the Dynasty Tour wasn't the biggest success, Kiss was the biggest band in the world. I don't care what you can, you know, argue that point all you want. Kiss is at their peak, 1979. Yeah, maybe they're about to slide down, but they're still at their peak. So for them to break up right at their peak, you know, they're going to be revered throughout the 80s and the early 90s, much in the same respect as Zeppelin, the Stones, the Beatles. They're on that size platform now. I really believe that. I think, you know, the influence they had in the 70s of all the musicians that are about to become, you know, superstars in the 80s and 90s really almost goes tenfold because they're no longer on the scene. Them being on the scene in the 80s maybe dilutes their legendary status a little bit. So let's start with that. Just remember, they're ending at their peak. They're the biggest band in the world. So when Kiss decides to break up, it's a monumental occasion. People are losing their minds. So obviously, 1980 to 1982, if you remember in Ace's book, he talks pretty vividly how him and Peter were very close with John Belushi. So my kind of alternate history starts there, where Peter and Ace actually star in the soon-to-be-released Blues Brothers movie right after Kiss breaks up. So they're in the Blues Brothers movie. They're part of the band. You know, obviously, they have a little bit more to do in the movie than the band members of the Blues Brothers, but they're in the movie. It's obviously a huge, huge success. And this was also the first time you get to see Peter and Ace without their makeup, because Kiss is not unmasked yet at this point. So, you know, when Blues Brothers is released, it's a big deal to go to that theater, especially when you're a Kiss fan, to see Ace and Peter non-makeup. So that makes people lose their minds. So from there, Peter's acting career really launches. Peter wants to pursue acting. He even tours with the Blues Brothers band for a little while. If you remember, Belushi and Aykroyd had a touring band for a little while, and it was actually quite successful. So Peter becomes the drummer of that band with aspirations of really launching his acting career from that. And again, you got to remember, there's no slide off here. There's still Peter's still super popular at this point because Kiss leaves off with it in its height. But unfortunately, as soon as John Belushi passes away, Ace and Peter are actually with him the night it happens. Peter, you know, goes into shambles. He goes into a drug-induced haze for a couple of years, which really kills his acting career before it even starts. So that's where it kind of starts. So around 1985, Peter starts working on his first solo album. But because of hair metal and bands like Crew and Twisted Sister and Quiet Riot, of course, Peter's solo album, which would have been in the vein of Out of Control or Let Me Rock You, it completely flops, which again, Peter goes into a deep, deep depression for the next few years. Around 1990, so it kind of mimics what really went on in Peter's life a little bit. Around 1990, back on his feet. Now, you got to remember, the Kiss camp is still splitting all profits four ways. There's no buyouts. There's no nothing. So there's still a lot of money coming in from the Kiss camp throughout the 80s. Album sales, merchandise. If anything, it's bigger than ever now because Kiss is off the market. Just like the Beatles album sales took off in the late 80s and 90s, Kiss's 70s albums now have a resurgence. So Peter's back on his feet with all his residuals from his one quarter Kiss merchandise and album sales. And much like Joe said, Peter goes the Rocky Balboa route in the movie Rocky Balboa, and he opens up his own Italian restaurant called Beth's. And it's a very Kiss memorabilia restaurant, you know, including Kiss costumes and stuff through the years. He even wears like a green blazer like Rocky Balboa wore in Rocky Balboa. And he greets his guests, and he's like the maitre d' there. Around 91 through 95, Peter's restaurant is a huge success and even becomes a chain of Kiss restaurants through the years and through the country. Peter is doing super, super well for himself now. So Peter is really well off. Again, I don't know what the other members are doing. That's for you guys to tell me. So obviously Paul is in this crazy, you know, self-induced misery, you know, trying to justify his, you know, his righteousness and stuff. So Peter's actually doing quite well for himself. So in 96, when Kiss is approached by mega manager Doc McGee and super big promoters across the country to do the reunion, because Kiss was away in 1979 and broke up at their peak, like I mentioned earlier, they're revered in the same sentence as Zeppelin and the Beatles. So picture Zeppelin and the Beatles reunions at this around this time. Even though the Kiss reunion was big, those reunions would have been monstrous. So that's what happens. Kiss's reunion becomes bigger than we could have ever imagined it, way bigger than it really was in 96. And because, you know, Peter's doing quite well for himself, and so is, you know, I'm not sure if so is everyone else, but they agree to split all the profits four ways because the still the Kiss company exists, and it's split four ways down the middle. So the reunion tour is split down the middle, 25% for every member. Therefore, none of the bad blood ever arises. The reunion tour is a mega, mega success, bigger than we could have ever imagined. Fast forward through the years. I'm not sure how long the reunion lasts, but fast forward to 2020. Disney partners with Kiss, much like they did with Marvel and Star Wars, and they start producing Kiss movies, Kiss TV shows, theater, more music, more merchandise, even the Kiss World Amusement Park featured in the Scooby-Doo meets Kiss movie. So Kiss's name from there on is and its members. Now, the members are also one of the most well-respected brands and names in music history. That's how I think it would have went down.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's nice.
Very, very nice.
Well thought out. Jody.
Man, you guys are making me feel like a total slacker. So I just kind of figured, I mean, in 1980, I think Ace would have kind of went the way he did it in real life, you know, because, I mean, that's basically when he checked out. But if we wanted to go fantasy route, I was thinking about it. What if, like, Ace, you know, he didn't do music for a while, but you know how he was always into computers and technology? What if he was the first guy that really brought the internet to the world? And it was like, you know, like JindalNet or some shit. And everybody had a, like an ace computer, and he was like the new Steve Jobs. And I really do think, though, that if they did go away, the reunion would have been way bigger, you know? But at the same time, I do think that, like, you know, Paul and Gene, I think they deserved a little bit of extra money because of the way that things did go, you know? I think that they did keep the band alive, and, you know, and part of that was them, like, pushing the old shit on a young audience like me, you know, like, exposed. I think that all of that stuff, like, primed people like me for the reunion, you know? Right. I started seeing all those old footage, and then, like, the whole Kiss Vision thing happened, so, like, 96 was the prime time. It's also like 20 years after the fact, you know, like pop culture goes in like 20 year cycles. So it was like a perfect time. So I don't know if like the reunion would in like 89 would have been quite as big because of the, it hadn't been, you know, 20 years or whatever, but I do think it would be big, huge. In fact,
I like what you said about Ace though, because he really was into graphics before,
big time.
Before it was popular. Yeah. I mean, there's even interviews on MTV where they're asking him about it, and he's talking about how, like, the inner sleeve of a record he designed and stuff like that. I think you're right. I think Ace would have gone exactly the route. I think he had a plan as it was.
Yeah, I do too. I think he was.
I agree with you 100%.
After 78, I think he was just ready. You know, he knew that he could do it, and there was no stopping him, you know?
Yeah. Sonny?
All right, so let me read a couple of comments here. Robert's having a hard time grasping no Eric Carr, no Vinnie Vincent, no Lick It Up, no Animal Eyes. Yeah, Robert, we were trying to keep it somewhat simple. Some more coffee names. I Just Java, that's pretty good. I've Had a Mug Into the Fire, that's good. Porter asks, in this situation, are they breaking up before the MTV unmasking? That is a yes. Let's see.
Right, again, they're breaking up 1979, right after the Dynasty Tour. Kiss breaks up.
The beans giveth and the beans taketh away. That's pretty good. somebody had, this was a good one, Peter in his restaurant. Try the rigatoni. It's fucking fabulous.
Exactly.
Yeah, so interesting stuff. All right, so here's what I got Gene doing. I had to write some of it down, but it's not going to read like a book report. All right, so they're breaking up. I'm just messing with you. They're breaking up in 79, and there's a guy named Richard Lester that directed a film, gets a hold of Gene and says, look, you were so great in The Phantom that I got a small part for you in a movie called Superman 2. It's a character that does nothing but grunts and growls. So he actually plays Non.
Non.
That's hilarious, dude. Because when I was a kid, I always thought those dudes were like Kiss because they had the black and they had the heels and shit.
That's right.
That's so cool.
That's right. 81, group of investors come to him, and Michael Nesmith is one of them, and they talk to him about MTV. And he buys a third share in MTV. Woo! And starts that thing. And it actually blossoms into other investments later on. 82, he tries a second solo album. He doesn't have a lot of music written because he's acting these little parts. So he decides to do a Beatles cover album, and it was a disaster. So he gave up on that. In 84, he gets his first movie big break because they wanted him to play a villain, and he gets to play opposite Beverly Hills Cop Eddie Murphy, and he is Victor Maitland in the movie. Oh, my
God.
Right? Which sets his movie career going. In 86, he gets, somebody calls him and says, we need you to do three songs for a movie. Here's the three songs we want you to sing. Donka Shane, Oh Yeah, and Twist and Shout, because we're going to put in a movie called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. We even have a part for you. You're going to play the English teacher, Mr. Nolan, remember the guy? In what way?
Yeah.
Is the authors? He's playing that guy. Remember when the nurse comes in to get Sloan?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he gets to play there. In 89, we talked about it last week. He's going to be Hans Gruber in Die Hard. So he's going to be a staple forever. So music comes back kind of in 89. Nikki Sixx comes over one day and says, I got a few ideas. And they co-write She Goes Down, Dr. Feelgood, and Kickstart My Heart, which kind of gets him back kind of into the music deal. So he shows up to a couple of gigs as Paul Stanley's doing a solo tour in 89 to try to get the juices flowing again a little bit. Okay. In 89, because he's such a cartoon and comic book geek, he's thinking about selling his stake in MTV. He thinks it's maybe played out. So New Line Cinema comes and asks him to invest in a couple of movies that they're thinking about doing. He looks at the stuff. He goes, oh, it's a quartet. All four of them got different colors. Yeah, this is right up my alley. So he sells his share in MTV and goes in 50-50 on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle trilogy. On one condition, he gets to voice Splinter in all three movies.
Wow.
So that way he's got, you know, the kind of the comic book thing going. And then in 94, everything's going great. All three movies have been released. That's pretty much done. He's going to kind of sell it off. And there's this toy maker working for Mattel. He's kind of sick of how Mattel's making him make his toys. So he gets in a partnership, 50-50 partnership, with a guy named Todd McFlaren. And they put their toy company together to release all of these action figures from Spawn to Kiss to the Beatles to Guns N' Roses and beyond. And he ends up being kind of this toy guy. And 96, they come to him and they go, all right, you want to go back on tour? You got money. I don't know if you need the money. You feel like it? And he's like, yeah, why not? And he goes. My thought process on would have been bigger. Yeah. You know, it already had a 190 plus shows, right? I think it's bigger. I don't know if it lasts longer, but I think it ends up being a football type stadiums, right? And maybe it gets bigger. Maybe it does last a little longer. My question to you guys is, I think it lasts longer, makes more money, and then dies. Because I don't think the four can last. See, I think what's keeping them going right now is they survived in the 80s. So they're surviving without Ace and Peter right now because they've done it before. Since they don't have that 16 years of practice, I think they come back, they make their hundreds of millions of dollars, and I don't think they're around right now.
Well, I don't disagree that they might not still be going. But again, obviously, great job, everyone. I think all the fictional scenarios all work. They're all fun to think about. But, you know, back to the original idea of, you know, of Gene and Paul saying, hey, we kept this band alive in the 80s. Therefore, you two are just hired guns because we did all the work in the 80s. Therefore, we don't need you as much as you need us. That's kind of the original premise. That's what bothers me so much, because I truly believe, even without all this fictional stuff we just talked about, if Kiss ends, or whatever happens in the 80s means it doesn't, it's irrelevant. When Kiss joins forces again with Peter and Ace to put their makeup on, that show is going to be as good as it was in 96 or bigger. It's never going to be smaller. So, you know, the downplay of Peter and Ace's importance at that time is what kills me so much. Meaning, of course, we know, you know, in history, Peter and Ace sell their makeup and, you know, new generations of fans become Kiss fans from the reunion, which is exactly what happened. A lot of the fans today that know Tommy and Eric don't even realize that it's not Ace and Peter because they're new fans from the reunion. That's okay. I understand all of that. And maybe that same thing happens. Maybe Ace and Peter sell their makeup again and the same cycle happens. But the reunion tour was a success because of the four members putting on their makeup. It had nothing to do with Gene and Paul keeping it alive in the 80s. Again, as much as I love the 80s, and I think I love the 80s the same as the 70s, maybe even more. So trust me, I'm not one of those guys who doesn't like the 80s Kiss, but to say that because they kept it alive, Ace and Peter got the short end of the stick, to me, is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, I want to ask Joe and Jody this too. Okay, so if I'm making the decision as a human in 1982 to sell my makeup, I'm selling it on the downtrend, right? So I guess if they're handing me $1 million, let's just say it's $1 million, sure, bucks, we don't technically know, then that money, I'm like, oh, wow, that's more than enough money. Keep me going. I'm going to go make my own money anyway. I don't care. In 79, at the height of popularity, if they break up, I don't know if Peter and Ace sell their makeup. Like, Jody, would you have sold your makeup in 79 knowing that?
Like, not. Oh,
there's too much money to be made.
Yeah.
Well, why did they sell it?
Was it because they were breaking up, though, too? You know, like, were they all, do they hate each other? They just decided they were going to hang it up while they're on top? Like, what? Why are they breaking up?
Yeah.
Do we know that? What's up, Joey?
Well, Sonny, my question is, too, if that's the case, then when do we know the dates that they sold their makeup? What years are we talking? Are we talking 2000? Are we talking when? Do we know the dates?
I don't know for sure.
If anyone knows the dates that are watching, throw up the dates that we think. I would assume that it's somewhere around 2000-ish, but, you know, I don't know for sure. But if they sold it, let's just say around the 2000 mark, obviously the reunion has kind of run its course. They're doing the farewell tour. They're never thinking they're selling their makeup because they're going to put other guys in the makeup. They're thinking, oh, they're selling their makeup for rights, merchandising rights, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And they figure, okay, a cool million in my pocket right now is easier than trying to collect merchandising money from these guys for the next 20 years. And I get it. So they never thought that two new guys were going to be in their makeup. So I think if the same thing would have happened in 79, I think they could have never even imagined other guys in that makeup.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Who's around them when this is happening? Who's sitting in their ear going, yeah, sell your makeup? Are they just doing it on their own, or do they have people sitting there telling them this is a good idea, this is a bad idea? Because if they didn't have the people sitting next to them going, you know, if you keep your makeup, anything they do with your makeup, they have to pay you for. That's, and even though they're thinking, you know, that the difference between Peter and Ace and Paul and Gene is Paul and Gene are thinking in the future going, even if we break up, Kiss is still going to be able to put out stuff. Ace and Peter going, they don't even, you know, there's a reason why. I mean, look, talent wise, you can say whatever you want. Business wise, Paul and Gene, they're the guys. They were the ones that already had it in their head. When this band breaks up, we could still sell the faces. We could still, people will still want, you know, the makeup to put on a Zippo lighter or a cup or a mug or a shirt or whatever. But if we don't own that Catman and that Spaceman, we have to keep sending them checks.
But we also, listen, obviously all Kiss fans love to speculate as what the deal was. We know they sold the trademark rights to the makeup, but we don't know what the contract to that selling was. They could still be getting residual merchandising from that makeup. They could still be getting that stuff. That could be part of the contract. All we know is they sold the rights to let Kiss use it in any way they want, right? We don't know that they sold, we don't know that they sold the rights to all future earnings from it. All we know is Gene and Paul control what they're allowed to do with that makeup. Ace and Peter can still be getting residuals.
Yeah, I think it comes down to every lottery winner is making the same decision, and it depends on whether you're somewhat of a gambler and you kind of believe in the future or whether you want the money right now, right? So, you know, you win a lottery that's $4 million right now. Most lotteries let you take $2 million home right now and forget about the rest. Or you can take the $4 million and we give you payments of whatever $1,000 every month until the $4 million is up. I'm a guy that would take his $2 million and walk.
Me too. Right?
Because I'm like, I don't know if those guys are going to be around, and I don't want to chance it. Right? And I figure I can do more with that money right now that could possibly get me past the $4 million versus getting it in $10,000 chunks and doing nothing with it and buying stupid guitars that I'm never going to play with it or something. You know what I'm saying? So my guess is, you know, every investor has to make that same decision, right? I mean, there's no way around that. But I can imagine that, Joe, I'm with you. I think there's people in their ears whenever they did end up selling saying, this thing is done. Take yep. your payday and walk. These guys are over. There's nobody, there's no bands ever last as long as these guys are thinking about lasting. Take your money and run.
What do you think, Jody?
That's what I think.
I think Sonny nailed it right on the head, dude. I mean, I would do the same thing. I think most people would. I mean, especially after, you know, of all the nightmare stories we've heard about the fair, you know, the farewell tour and the final tours with Kiss. They were so burnt out on doing that shit. They didn't think they were ever going to go back into it. But also, I have heard somewhere that, like Ace licenses his makeup to Kiss. So he's still getting paid, like, still for everything, you know, like on a yearly basis, I guess.
Ace said that himself. He said, I have not sold my makeup to Kiss.
I wish we like knew the concrete like answers to these questions, because I'd really like to know, like, is Peter on the same thing? Or was there a clause where they could, you know, use it for other people? Or was that something that they didn't even put in there and that Ace and Peter didn't even consider, you know? Because if so, they could have got more money or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sonny, I wish we knew. What are people saying online?
Robert said, I think if Tommy and Eric scenario, they would have had their own personas, right? So he was hoping for that. Bill Elam had an interesting one. So he says, in 80, Peter doesn't leave. Paul does. The rest of the band hires Sammy Hagar. So that protects nice. Van Halen because Roth doesn't leave. Roth didn't leave because of Hagar. Right. But I get to your fantasy. Roth stays with Van Halen. I think Bill's trying to fix Van Halen, not fix.
let me ask you guys this: do you think that if Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons weren't able to buy, let's say they purchased the rights to the makeup, right? Let's say they aren't able to do that. Do they then give Tommy and Eric their own personas, or they just go, screw it, we're going out without makeup? Because to them, new makeup is stupid.
No, it's only stupid because they're allowed to use Aces and Peters. If Ace and Peter, great scenario, Joe. If Ace and Peter, let's just say, keep their makeup designs, and obviously Gene and Paul are not going to pay Ace and Peter royalties, you know, to let Tommy and Eric do it. So, yeah, what they do is, just like Kiss does every, you know, every new album and every new reincarnation of Kiss, they sell you the most recent product. So if Tommy and Eric come on board, they're going to give them new personas. They're going to sell those personas like the exact opposite of what they do now. The Catman and the Spaceman mean nothing. It's the Kiss name and the makeup that mean everything, and all the characters mean everything to Kiss just as much as one character. Ace means as much as Kiss as the Frogman, and blah, blah, blah. You know how Paul always says it. So I think they would have sold us on new characters, which, you know, in my opinion, I wish they would have done.
Joe, I think the other thing that happens is you think we had the amount of lawsuits we had triples. Because then you get all kinds of conversation about, all right, you're not going to let us license your makeup or not let us buy you out. Anytime somebody says the word Kiss with your name attached to it, we want to get paid. Yeah. Anytime you license it, we want half, a quarter going to Gene, a quarter going to Paul. You cannot say Ace Frehley a Kiss on any banner. You are not allowed to say Peter. You better not have anything on makeup without us signing off. Like, there would be all this other lawyered up shit that jacked up Creedence, that jacked up the Eagles, that jacked up all these other places that had like five or six hands in the pot, and nobody was willing to give. Really, Ace and Peter willing to just kind of let it go actually lessened all that. They got screwed in the end, but it did lessen the process.
So let me add. So look, we're coming to the end here. I know we've been talking about it a while, but here's my question. In the end, you guys, Joey, you're saying if Kiss would have been four equal partners for the reunion tour, it had gone way better. Way better because of it would have gone way better because nobody would have felt slighted.
Yeah, I think they would have never, again, not only four equal partners for the reunion, but having the whole 80s be erased. You know, obviously that whole scenario I'm talking about, not just the equal partners, because I'm sure the drug additions would have happened again and all that stuff would have happened again. But just having the four original members reunite after 79 with none of that stuff in the middle would have made everything different. I think there was a lot of resentment and a lot of bad blood between them, even by the time the reunion happened. Gene and Paul obviously needed Ace and Peter. They're playing conventions. Kiss is dead. They're bankrupt. Kiss went bankrupt in the 80s. We all know that story. Kiss was going to go bankrupt again, you know, come in the mid-90s. So they needed Ace and Peter to do that reunion. And when they did it, you know, obviously Ace and Peter needed Gene and Paul too, because they were down on their luck too. They weren't doing anything. So all of them were hard up for money. So this whole, you know, revisionist of history of Gene and Paul being these savvy businessmen, Kiss was a complete failure in the 80s. Complete failure. I know everyone wants to say they sold platinum records and they did all that. They did. And I love 80s Kiss, but monetary wise, Kiss is a complete failure in the 80s. They never made a dollar. They lost money on every record. The only way they were living was, and the reason why they released a record every year was because they were living off of those record advances, which were never probably paid back because they never made enough money. So Kiss was a failure in the 80s. So they needed Ace and Peter. So if they come back and there's four equal shares, I think Gene and Paul realize, okay, these guys, we need them as much as they need us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty true. I there's so much to this. You know, I'd love to hear from you guys out there listening. Let us know. PodcastRockCity1, that's the number one at gmail.com. I want to know two things. One, would the reunion tour without 80s Kiss have been bigger or smaller than it actually wound up being? And number two, I would love to know, would you have sold in 1979 the rights to the Spaceman makeup or the Catman makeup if you owned it? Would you have sold or would you have taken a lump sum? That's all you got to do is tell me. Sold, lump sum, bigger, smaller. That's what I want to know. Everybody that sends me an email, you're going to go into a pot to win my Dirty Santa Gene Simmons cereal. That's so hard right now. It's one.
Dude, yeah.
And you'd be lucky because it don't taste that good.
It tastes terrible. Everybody that said, okay, PodcastRockCity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Let me know, would the tour have been bigger or smaller? And let me know if you would have taken the lump sum or kept on to the rights of your makeup.
Third option, if you want to see Joe next week live on Facebook, crack that cereal open and eat a bowl live on Facebook.
That's your third
option. He's did it, but it wasn't a year old yet.
It wasn't a year old.
Still disgusting.
Well, what's the
hey, dude? Before we go, let me play the devil's advocate to you fellas one time. I mean, imagine that they break up in '79, and it's like what other band was huge in the '70s? Like what? Like Village People or something, right? And they go away, and you don't have Gene and Paul pushing them all through the '80s, right? Maybe they weren't. Maybe the reunion wouldn't be that big of a deal. Because I don't think, like the Village People get together in 89. No one gives a fuck. You know what I mean? So if they didn't have, like, Gene and Paul pushing all through the years and getting kids like me into the band, and then I discovered the makeup shit, then maybe the reunion wouldn't have meant shit in 89, you know?
Well, there you go. The Village People are not, you know, Kiss was the most influential band. You know, 76, 77, 78, 79. Think of all the musicians today that talk about those years as the reason why they play music today.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, a band that was big, whoever it might be.
Yeah, you're right. You have a good point. I see what you're saying. What is it possible? Like, so this is why we're throwing it out to the people that are listening. let us know what you think. If you want to leave us a little blurb about why you think what you think, that's terrific too. We'll print them out and read them all on the internet next week. I promise. Just send them to us. PodcastRockCity1. That's the number one at gmail.com. I would love to hear, because the truth is people are letting us know here. You know, that I love the one thing that I read though, that said that Gene would sell plaster caster home kits. And then, you know, part of the problem with doing this live is that on Facebook blocks out who's email, who's sending us messages, whereas YouTube does not, you know. But we appreciate every one of them. You guys are great out there getting involved in the conversation with each other and with us. We do the best that we can. It kind of scrolls by fast. Let's see. Jody, do you have anything to add today?
Nope. Just thanks for listening, everyone. And Happy New Year and Merry Kwanzaa and all that shit.
Yep, absolutely. Sunny.
Merry New Year and Happy Festivus.
Joey.
I'm assuming next week's show we're going to be reviewing the live stream. I'm hoping and I'm assuming that I'll also be able to watch it somewhere on YouTube shortly after the live stream. So we'll all talk about it next week. Don't worry. Every KISS podcast is going to be reviewing the live stream. Nobody's copying each other. So we're all going to be talking about the live stream, you sick maniacs.
Yes.
Joey, you cheap bastard. Just throw down $39.99.
Is that how much it is? $39.99?
Yeah.
Sonny, send me a check for $39.99. I will buy it. Actually, $49.99, Sonny.
What I'll do is I'll FaceTime you from the live stream I'm watching so you can watch along.
What? I would never watch it along with you. You know that.
This is going to be a great week. You know, next week, just like Joey said, everybody's going to be reviewing this because it's the big news at the end of the year. Make sure you listen to all the shows and get their ideas and then tune into us later and get our ideas of what we think. And because everybody's going to be different. Trust me when I tell you there's not going to be anybody that has the same idea as me or Sonny for that matter.
Oh, we'll be the best, Joe. We'll okay. be the best.
Absolutely.
And we'll be first because we'll be on Sunday. So everyone's going to copy us.
You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts and we love KISS podcasts.
None of them.
Most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace. Totally evil. You're like. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.